B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Kuf Tes. We're going to start 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Learned in a Braisa and it is after. Chayev Odom L'Sameach Bonov B'nei Beisei B'Regel. A person, besides for being required himself to be happy for the duration of Yom Tov, he also has to make sure that his family are also happy. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'Samachto B'Chagecho Ato. On Yom Tov, you have to be happy. Uvincho, and your sons, uvitecho, and your daughters. Va'avdecho, va'mosecho, va'levi, va'geir, va'yosim, va'almono, asher b'sharecho. Asks the Gemara, b'meh m'samchem, how can I make them happy? Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, b'yayin, with wine. Wine makes a person happy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends what's appropriate. Different people are happy with different things. Anoshim b'royu lehem, men, whatever's fit to make them happy, v'noshim b'royu lehem, and women, what's fit for them to make them happy. Anoshim b'royu lehem, what makes men happy? B'yayin, it's common for men to drink a little bit of wine and to help them get happy. V'noshim b'mai, it's not common and it's even inappropriate for women to drink wine. So how are they going to be happy on Yom Tov? Tanya Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says that b'bovel, in Babylonian, the way they would be happy on Yom Tov, they would wear some coloured clothing. Be'eretz Yisrael, bebigdei pishton muguhotzin, that in Eretz Yisrael they would wear white linen, ironed white linen clothes for Yom Tov. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said that bizman shebeis hamikdash kaim, when the beis hamikdash was standing, ein simcha elo b'basar, then what they would use exclusively to help them come to simcha is the basar shlomim, the meat from the korban shlomim. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, v'zovachto shlomim, v'ochalto shom, v'somachto lifnei Hashem elikecho, that the pasuk that says that you have to be happy before Hashem is talking about v'zovachto shlomim, consequent to having shechted the korban shlomim. V'achshav, however, today she'ein beis hamikdash kaim, unfortunately we don't yet have the beis hamikdash back, ein simcha elo b'yayin, then the way we come to simcha is only through wine, shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'yayin yisamach levav enosh, that wine, it gladdens the heart of a person. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Kista was a type of a measuring jug. Demuraisa, they would commonly measure fish fat with this jug. Dehava b'tzipuri, and this kista demuraisa was found in a place called Tzipuri. Tzipuri, he havas kamin lugo de migdasha. It was exactly the same size as the jug which measured a loig in the Beis HaMikdash, Ubo, and with that jug, Masharin Revi'is Shel Pesach. We know that every cup of the four cups of wine has to be a Revi'is HaLoig, a quarter of a measure called Loig. So they will take this, Kista de Muraisa, fill it up, split the content into four, and they'll know how much of a Revi'is. Ubo, Masharin Revi'is Shel Pesach. And they would use this jug to measure a quarter of a Loig on Pesach. Omer Rabbi Yechanan says that Tamnisa, which is another type of a measuring jug, which was apparently even earlier than the Kista de Muraisa, then Kadmaisa, its original form of this Tamnisa, the Havaba Tveria, which was found in Tveria, have a Yaseira Aldo. It was larger than the more contemporary Tamnisa river. It was one quarter of a loig larger, the original Tamnaisa was a quarter of a loig larger than the later Tamnaisa. Ubo Mesharin Revi'is Shel Pesach. What they would do is they would fill up the older original Tamnaisa with wine. They would pour its content into the Tamnaisa from the later Tamnaisa, which was a quarter Revi'is HaLoig smaller. And whatever was left in the large Tamnaisa, they would know that's exactly a Revi'is of Pesach. Ubo Mesharin Revi'is Shel Pesach. That's how they would measure the size of a Revi'is which was needed for the four cups on Leil Seder. Omer Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says as follows, and the Gemara is going to say something exceptionally straightforward, but for those who are learning through the Rashi and Rashbam may get very confused, because the way that Rashi and Rashbam make the Cheshbonus here is not the contemporary way that we're used to making the Cheshbonus, making the calculations, and I'm just going to read the Gemara and explain it in the way that we would read it and learn it in any math textbook, and we'll see how straightforward it is. Omer of Chizda. Revere's Shelterer of Chizda established and will soon see what the source was. But you want to know what size utensil holds a revere's? That means for a revere's Shelterer, for all those things, all those halachas min hatayra that need a revere's. And Rashi lists what they are, either yayin shel nozir, or dam, or shemen. The Rashbam quotes a few of revere's Shelterer. How big is a revere's? So it's a utensil which is etzbo'ayim, 2 fingers breadth, al etzbo'ayim, by 2 fingers breadth, berum, the height of etzbo'ayim, v'chetzi etzba, v'chomish etzba. The height is 2 fingers width, plus a half a finger's width, plus a fifth of a finger's width, which together is 2.7. So if you work out how much this is, then this is a utensil which carries 10.8 cubic fingers width. Right, it's 2 by 2 by 2.7, which is 10.8. Kedetanya, and the source of this is from a brisa. What does it say in the brisa? V'rochas b'mayim es kol basori. The pasuk says that when a person goes to the mikveh, he's got to not go b'mayim into water. He's got to go b'mayim, some unique type of water. Es kol basori, his whole flesh. So the brisa says shelo yehi dovo chaitas bein basori l'mayim. Number one, the person has to go into the mikveh, and there mustn't be any separation between the water and his body. Bamayim b'mei mikveh. Which water does he have to go into? The special type of water called a mikveh, which is a collected water, which has never been through utensils and all the halachas of mikvois. Es kol basori ma'im. Es kol basori. Why does it say the word kol? It should just say es basori. What's the whole of his flesh? Mayim shekol gufa elibhem. The size of the mikveh has to be the size that the entire person could be submerged under the water. V'kamohin. What is the size, the minimum size of such a mikveh? Amo. An amo we know is 6 tefachim. Every tefach is 4 etzbois. So every amo is 24 etzbois. So you've got an amo, which is 24 etzbois, al amo by 24 etzbois, berum, and the height of sholish amois, which is 72 etzbois. So how many etzbois cubed is that? That's 414,072 cubed etzbois. There's 24 by 24 by 72, that's the minimum size of a mikveh. V'shiaru chachomim. The chachomim said how much water can go into an area, into the volume of 414,072 etzbois. The Chachamim said is the shear of Mei Mikveh is Arboim Saw. And every Saw has 6 kav, every kav has 4 loig, every loig has 4 revias haloig, 4 quarters of a loig, which means that Arboim Saw holds altogether 3,840 revias. And if you divide the 414,072 etzbois into 3,840 revias, you'll see that every revias is exactly 10.8 etzbois, which is exactly what Rav Chisda said. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rav Ashi. Omer li Rovin Bar Chinina. Rovin Bar Chinina told me, says Rav Ashi, that Shulchan shel Mikdosh, and we learned this is a Gemara in Chagiga Daf Chavov, that the shulchan that was holding the lechem upon him in the Beis HaMikdosh could theoretically become tomei. If it became tomei, they would have to tovel it. Toveling it is in a mikveh. So Ravin said it must be that this table could be dismantled, the various parts, that its length could be dismantled into 2, and Rashi says that you could be mefarik, you could dismantle the roch by the width into 2, and the feet, the Rashbam says that the feet could come apart. The Yisal Kedaitoch, if you're going to say Haduke Hava Mehadik, that all the parts were tightly fitted and they could not be dismantled, then Amsa Ba'amsa Heicha Tovle, the Gemara assumes that the mikveh that they would tovel, the mikveh that was in the Azara, there was in the mikveh, the Gemara says in Yomid Aflamid Aleph, there was a mikveh in the Azara, and either the mikveh, which was an Amma by an Amma wide, but they didn't want to take up too much space in the Azara, so they made a minimum shear mikveh, which, as we saw before, was Amma al Amma Barum Shalish Amis. Or it could be the Amma Samaim, the stream going through the Azara, which was also could be used to toivel the clay shoris, and it was called an Amma because it was exactly an Amma wide, and the Shulchan was an Amma wide, And it's impossible to submerge something of an amma wide into an area, into a mikveh, which is exactly an amma wide. So it must be that you could dismantle the parts. The Rishonim ask that why do all the parts have to be dismantled? Why can't you just remove the feet and then you'll be able to put them in diagonally? Okay, that's a discussion in the Rishonim. But either way, Ravin tried to prove from here that since the mikveh was probably an amma wide, it must be that the shulchan that was an amma wide had to have been able to be, the width of the shulchan had to be able to be cut into two, to be dismantled. Says the Gemara, no, there's no proof from there. My kashya, what was bothering him? Dilma b'yam she'osa shleima. We know there was a very big mikveh in the Azara called Yam she'osa shleima. Shleima Melech made this very big mikveh. Have a matbilei, that's where they would tovel these big kelim. The Tani Rabchia, because we already learnt about this at length in Erevin Daf Yudalad Omad Aleph, that Yam she'osa shleima, this mikveh, so to speak, which Shleima Melech made, Marzik would hold 150 mikveh tara, 150 times the amount of water as a minimum sized mikveh, which means it was very, very large, and there was no issue to put the shulchan into there. Exactly the shape of the Yam She'asa Shleima and how it came to 150 times the mikveh tara, we discussed at length in Erevin Daf Yud Dalet. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.